Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone that has called in, I thank God for all the internet listeners. This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. Continue to enjoy the music, and I will return.
Hey!
God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our souls have to truly say yes. Hallelujah. Well, it is time again for the warfare hour. Hallelujah, Jesus, with Apostle Carlton Clark, the pastor of Warriors for Christ House of Prayer, Church International Ministry, 2225 Roosevelt Place, Gary, Indiana. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Apostle, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Evangelist. Hallelujah. God bless you on this evening.
God bless you also, men of God. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over phone lines, Lord God. I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, Father God. I pray right now that you will continue to step every gift in the inside of the apostle, Lord God, and you put Patrick going forth strong in you, Lord God. I thank you.
Come together once more and again for this, the warfare hour. For we do believe in the scripture that says that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We believe that failure is not an option in those that believe in God. And as we go forth on today, we just pray that God will use us in a mighty way and that you'll be blessed in those things that God has for us on today. We're going to ask that you, if you are at home, we pray that you're able to get some paper and a pencil because in our teachings, we do like you to take some notes. Hopefully you can be able to go back to some of this stuff a little later as you meditate on it, if you're able, and that you'll be able to use it to further your mission throughout the week. Pray that you had a wonderful week. We pray for those that may have some challenges on today. And we also pray for those of you that have loved ones in the hospital and for those that are suffering through bereavement. But we recognize again that God is a true and living God and that he can handle all things. He can give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you.
We recognize because we are the warfare hour, we're going to try to do something concerning warfare each week. And last week, we dealt with the whole arm of God. I'm going to ask you to step to me once more and open thine mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous thing out of that law.
And that's Psalm
119, verse 18. Really stating that, hey, Lord, let us have your word. Man of God, your phone is kind of low.
Okay. And we thank you.
I can't hear you.
And we're going to. Can't hear me?
Okay, I can hear you better now.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, we pray that our voice is better now. Okay, on last week, we spoke about the whole armor of God. And we went to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we talked about those things concerning the armor. We also talked about some additional weapons. And we talked about a weapon of fasting and how we didn't want anyone to know that we were fasting. We have a pruned face going out there letting everybody know that we are giving up something and that we are dealing with a fast because that's between us and God. And then we talked about just a little bit the
use of tongues. And over the next few weeks, we'll get more into a lesson concerning tongues. But we also talked about the seven steps
of prayer. And in those steps, we talked about that as we put ourselves in a position of confession, also through supplication, adoration, intercession, intimacy,
thanksgiving, and finally praise, that that puts us in a position to be ready, and that we know that the truth is birthed within us when there is no guilt. The flesh is dead, guilt is gone, surrender has been accomplished, and now we can enter into the presence of God. And as we do that, God will honor those things that we ask. There are several scriptures in the Bible where God has instructed us to ask, and it shall be given unto us. I know Matthew 7, chapter and the 7th verse speaks of that. It says, ask and it shall be given unto thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
And we do that through prayer, through all prayer and supplication. But today we want to talk about another weapon, which is really a key weapon to our anointing, and that weapon is the weapon of communion. Many of you may not think that communion is a weapon. Well, I pray that at the end of the day, that your mind will be changed. I've been reading a book, and Apostle Leonard Emmons, which is our covering, he's one that really loves to give out books. if you know him at all, we're here in the city of, we used to call it the City of Glory, but it is the city of Gary, Indiana. He's a man of God that believes in sharing books. He believes in all manner of warfare. And one of the books that I recently have read is from Prophetess and Apostle Anna Mendez Farrell. The name of it is Eat My Flesh and Drink My Blood. And if you, Woman of God is a powerful weapon. And in that book, which we're going to try to share some things with you today concerning communion, it talked about the things that the original or the first church did. And the scriptures clearly back up those things as mentioned in that book. So I'd like to share some of those things with you on today because it is a great weapon. The early church, when they took communion, it was part of the food that they ate every day. It wasn't a religious ceremony, and it didn't need a priest in order for you to be able to distribute it. Now, that may seem a little weird because when we go to church, our apostles, our pastors, our teachers, and some churches, our deacons are the ones that administer or distribute the communion. But in the Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 46, talks about that day by day continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they would give their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 42, says, and they steadfastly persevered, devoted themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 43 says, and a sense of awe or reverential fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, which are the special messengers. What we see here is when they came together, Jesus had given them some clear instructions of what he intended for them to do to receive the power that comes from God. And once they recognized that they had that power, they didn't want to not do anything without that power. They got on one accord. They operated in unity, and they became strength. Every single day, they did pretty much the same thing. It wasn't a ritual with them. They put it in a circumstance where it was part of their life. And God intends for us to do the same thing. What I have found in my research is that when we are obedient to the word of God, when we are obedient to the things that he has instructed us to do, marvelous and wondrous things happen in our lives. People began to see the light that exudes from us. They began to understand that there's something different about us. It puts us in a position that they want to find out, where are we getting this source of power from? That's a great thing. One of the things that taking communion does is it puts us in a position that we are one with God. See, Jesus came to earth to give us the greatest inheritance that one could imagine, his very life within us. And just as the Father sent him, he wants us to be sent. He wants us to do even greater signs and wonders than he had done while he was on the earth. He wanted the supernatural reality and power of his kingdom to be manifested in us. What Jesus did is he trained his disciples to appropriate for themselves all that he had conquered for us. His apostles, they understood that they not only lived it, but they taught it in such a way that the whole first century church moved in this might. And unfortunately, what has happened over time is that we've gotten away from some of the things that God has instituted in the first church. In Mark, the 11th chapter and verse 24, it says, "For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it." The apostles were able to pray and do many signs and wonders pretty much every day. When we look at some of our modern apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, we see a lot of TV ministries and even ministries like this one here on the radio. But we see very few signs and wonders. Maybe it's because we're not paying attention. Maybe it's because we don't believe. But maybe it's because our faith is staggering. Maybe it's because we've not placed ourselves in a position to receive the fullness of God every day. As I speak about communion, generally, you may see it as an act. I know some churches have communion on a specific day, a specific Sunday. We've been blessed that we have it pretty much every time that we meet in our ministry. And Apostle Emmons with the Living Way Christian Center is one that believes in our daily communion. I found that when you place yourself in communion with God on a daily basis, it puts you in a position of being reverent with God. It puts you in a position of being fearful, because you have to do certain things before you take the communion. You have to humble yourself in a way that makes you have to understand that God is the one that you're reverencing. And so if you do that every day, you'll find that some things are going to change in your life. Jesus has given us four keys to fruitfulness. One is desire. We have a desire which is to crave or desire or to beg for some of the things. Remember we talked about asking it shall be given unto you. We pray, which is how we seek, to communicate or to talk with God. The third fruitfulness is to believe or to put our trust in the one that we're calling out to. And then the ability to have. Now, we get to have or to have possession by having our faith increased. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 7 and verse 8, talks about the three that testify. Verse 7 says, and again I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, says, so there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Verse 8 says, and there are three witnesses on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in unison. Their testimony sides. God has told us that if we abide in him, that he'll abide in us. He also has said in scripture that as we ask, we shall receive. As we seek, we shall find. As we knock, the door shall be opened unto us. He says in the scriptures that if we place ourselves in a position to receive by changing the conditions here on the earth, that the conditions will be changed in the heavens. There's a mystery that I ran into when I was doing my research, and I got a revelation that I'd like to share with you concerning this mystery. And it comes really from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, at verse 2, again reading out of the Amplified, it says, through the middle of the broadway of the city, also on either side of the river, was the tree of life, with its 12 varieties of fruit yielding each month, its fresh crop, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing and the restoration of the nations. And I shared with you just a minute ago that a mystery has unfolded. When we look at the tree of life, the scriptures tells us that the tree of life is Jesus. So that's really not a mystery. But it talks about that tree yielding its fruit every month. But it was 12 kinds of fruit, and here's in where the mystery opens up, and I want you to use your imagination and remember that we ask God to open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things out of his law. He had 12 disciples, each one of them from different walks of life. He trained them. He put them in a position where they learned everything from him. He put them in a place where they was able to receive the power. He prayed for them as he prayed for us, that we would be able to do those things that he did and more on the earth. And so as the mystery unfolds, we see that if the fruit is yielding or the tree is yielding fruit every month, isn't that indicative of us winning souls? Isn't that indicative of us each time we come together sharing the word and the good news of Jesus Christ, that many more are brought to the fold each month, and that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations? God has given us in his scriptures many gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 talks about the different gifts. And as the tree yields its fruit every month, the leaves of the tree are going to reap the gifts that come from the fruit. And they're going to go out and heal the land. He has promised us that if we go out, therefore, and preach the gospel and teach the gospel of the good news, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed, that we can, people that are blind can receive their sight, the deaf can receive their ability to hear, the mute will be able to speak. These are healing things. And so the tree or the mystery is that the 12 kinds of fruit, and it's my intention that perhaps he's speaking of the disciples and what originally they turned into apostles, and they created or actually was part of the first church. And as they went forth and taught others, they began to have fruit. And the fruit yielded every month, and that the leaves, which cover the ground because they are covered by the fruit, is one that is coming now, and it's that's healing, placing hands on the sick, talking to those in other tongues, getting on the radio, getting on the television, speaking it all over the world, healing of the nations. And Genesis, the second chapter, verse 9, basically backs it up. God never, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he always talks about the thing that he was going to do. He always talks about what he was going to do, and then he did it. See, out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and to be desired, good, suitable, and pleasant for food, and the tree of life also in the center of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of the difference between good and evil and blessings and calamity. God expects us to understand the difference between blessings and calamity. Many things in our life, we put ourselves in a position of receiving a blessing or receiving a calamity. Many times it's through our own voice or through our own tongue that we pronounce these things upon our lives. All life was created by God. God must not only be born. Everything that has to be, that was created by God, must be born and it must be fed. Or it will become weak and it will die. Because what's true in the natural is also true in the spirit. Hallelujah. We find out as we continue in our studies and our going forth, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus, the 17th chapter and verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it says, I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. In the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle, the altar was in the front of the tabernacle, and the first thing they had to do was to bring an offering in there. They had to slay the offering to atone for the various kinds of sins. Of course, we understand that Jesus did away with that because he became the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice or the offering on the altar. But see, what happened is when Jesus descended into hell, the life in his blood was full of the glorious power of the Spirit of God. The blood and the Spirit of God united to bring about the greatest miracle in history, which was the resurrection of Christ. See, Jesus left the act or the gift of communion, because he recognized that his blood has power, because it is intimately linked with the glory of God. His blood destroys all yokes, and it releases power. God, Jesus understood many things, and the apostles or the disciples had a hard time dealing with his death. They had a hard time even understanding where he was going. Jesus understood that he had to teach them. That's why even after he went to hell, even after he came back and walked on the earth for 40 days, he still did some teaching to the apostles. But before he ascended up into to be on the right hand of the Father, he gave them a charge. He charged them to not to do anything until they received power. But he spoke of how they were going to be able to deal with that power even before he died. When he had his last supper with them, he tried very earnestly to explain to them what was going on and what was getting ready to happen. He told them to do it in remembrance of him. Many of us have been taught to plead the power of the blood, but within ourselves, we may not even have a living experience with the blood. It's very difficult for you to understand what the power of the body and the blood can be if you don't have a personal relationship with God. See, the Holy Spirit has taught that it is not what we say that has power, but the spiritual position from which we say it. That must be on the inside of us. We must have an undying faith in our heart to be able to understand the fullness of what the blood really means. There's some examples of some folks that just use their mouth. If you remember the sons of Sceva, they wanted to just use the power of God, but they didn't know God. And when you don't know God, hallelujah, and you try to use his power, you're putting yourself in some dire straits. So it's our intention that as you begin to use this weapon of communion, that you will understand what it is that you're doing. See, Jesus taught us to do communion in remembrance of him. He also taught us that it was for the remission of sin or the forgiveness of sin. He taught us that it was the blood of the new covenant. He taught us that it was a promise that he made with us that we shall receive everlasting life as we do it in remembrance of him. As we proclaim in the Lord's death by doing communion until he comes again. Paul went further to share with us, with the church anyway, to examine ourselves. In the examining of ourselves, we see that there's a penalty for not appreciating what the body of Christ is all about. And there's a verdict of judgment upon ourselves if we carelessly or unworthily participate. That leads us to be weak. It leads us to be sickly. Many of us fall into the sleep of death. Death from Christ. We have to be very, very careful that we use all of our weapons wisely. We got to be able to cut off the head of the enemy. Hallelujah. We got to be able to jump on him. We got to be able to hit him below the belt. We got to be able to stomp him. We can't be careless. We can't be unworthy. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be sickly. And we sure don't want to die into Christ. One of the things that Jesus left with us, when we take the communion and we examine ourselves, it puts us in a position of repentance. That's what makes it a wonderful weapon. Once we repent, the enemy can't use anything against us. Hallelujah. He can't make it. He always wants us to look at those things that was in our past. But see, by the blood and the body, we can make him look at his future. Hallelujah. We can make him look that he has no power over us whatsoever. We could put him in his place. We could put him in a place that just by declaring the blood of Jesus, he's got to get out of our way. Because he taught us to do it in remembrance of him, that means we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. We're going to be saying the name of Jesus. If our sins are being forgiven, what happens is we don't forgive ourselves when it comes to sin. The scriptures tell us that he's thrown our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. One thing that God did, or that Jesus did, when he died on the cross, there was seven different ways or parts of Christ's suffering on the cross or during the passion, which reveals the finished work that he accomplished. The blood and the sweat on his forehead, that's the first one. He gave us victory over pain and suffering of the soul. And you can find that information in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 42 and verse 44. The blood and the sweat on his forehead gives us victory over pain and suffering of the soul. The second is the blood from the saps and the blows, those that disfigured his face. That gives us triumph over pride and over vanity. It rescues us from the yoke of reproach and of rejection. It gives us power to endure when people humiliate and mock us. I don't know about you, but I've been in a position of humiliation before and being mocked. Not a fun place. And if you don't know that the blood of Jesus can clear you of that, it puts you in a position where you feel mighty low. So it's good to know that we can't triumph over pride and vanity. Hallelujah. Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 1, the B clause. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 67 and verse 68. And Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, and verse 14. Speaks of the blood, of the slaps and the blows which disfigured his face. The third one is the blood where pieces of the beard were ripped out. Now, one of the things is I didn't, you know, sometimes you read the Bible, you've read something, I didn't really recognize that they had ripped out part of his beard. And I thought that's a really, really low blow. There's some stuff that we just did not know that happened. They could show everything in that movie, The Passion of the Christ. It was one of those movies that had a lot of good information, and it had people really wondering and understanding, oh, my God, is that what Jesus went through? But even that, to pull pieces of his beard, to rip out pieces of his beard, but there's a significance in that. It speaks of the priesthood. Or we can reclaim that lost priesthood through Jesus Christ. Isaiah, the 50th chapter and verse 6, and Psalms 133 and verse 2. The fourth portion is the blood from the whipping, which tore up his back. Here, we drink victory over all disease. One thing that we really have to look at, guess what? Jesus was never sick. And he was a man without sin. But Jesus did cover himself with sin, which attracted all sickness. And he carried that to his grave or to the death. And that's what gives us access to a life that's full of health. Hallelujah. I don't think, maybe you didn't hear that clearly enough. I'm going to have to say that one again. As we drink the victory over all disease, Jesus was never sick. But he did cover himself with sin, which attracted all sickness. But he carried that to his death. And when he did that, that gives us access to a life full of health. Now, are you beginning to see concerning the blood, how it can be used as a weapon? Are you beginning to see that as you understand how the blood, when he gave us a symbol of doing the communion, the drinking of his blood, and the eating of his flesh, can't you see how when you use these things against the enemy, that you can always win? Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 4 and 5 is the reference for that one. There also was some blood by the crown thorns. This was the fifth way that he had blood. But see, that crown thorn crowned him King of Kings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord of Lords. And it gave him victory over the empire of the devil. Everything that happened to him has such a significance in our battle and in our life for going forth and to just stomp the enemy, just to kill the enemy, just do everything to the enemy to let him know he's not in control. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 29 and verse 30 covers the blood by the crown thorns. But he also had blood from the nails that was in his hands and that was in his feet. But that gave us triumph over iniquity, over sin, over twist. It twisted open the way of righteousness. It opens roads where there was no path and ways to get there to carry the gospel forth. We didn't have a way to carry the gospel until Jesus died on the cross, until he went forth with the passion. We would have been out there on our own had it not been for Jesus. Psalms, the 58th chapter, verse 2, the B clause, and Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 11, the B clause, and Isaiah 59 chapter and the 3rd verse, the A clause, talks about the blood from the nail. The 7th one is the blood shed from the side where he was pierced by the sword. This gives us fellowship with the blood, makes us know him intimately. It transforms us so that we can penetrate the most sensitive parts of God's heart. We should use these images to reflect or to meditate as we begin to daily administer the communion. These 7 steps where the blood put us in a position to understand where Christ was makes a great and powerful weapon against the enemy. We have found that as we put ourselves in a position of doing communion on a daily basis, see the early church going back again, it was part of the food that they ate every day. It wasn't a religious ceremony. They didn't make it. They made it as simple as possible so that it could be a part of their everyday life. So how can we do that today? Guess what? You don't need the actual communion bread. You can take bread and consecrate it, set it apart. And you can drink water. You can put a little oil in. You can say, hey, this is the blood of Jesus. It's a symbolism. Yes, you can use wine. You can use the grape juice as well. You can't get the communion plates. You can't get the communion elements. You can also make showbread. But the key is to do it daily, to put yourself in a position of receiving or using that weapon daily, recognizing that it's the blood of Christ that saves us. He told us to do this in remembrance of him. He told us what the significance of it was. He shared with us that he would not even drink of the fruit of the vine anymore until he come again into his Father's kingdom. He talked about a more excellent wineskin. He wants us to be a different kind of wine. He wants people to see us and to see the greatness that was in him. This weapon of communion is one that sanctifies us. It puts us in communion with God. It puts us in communion with Jesus as we recognize his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, even as he sits on the right hand of the Father right now. Hallelujah. Glory to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. It puts us in a position that we can be one with him. It puts us in a position that we can receive freely of the gifts and of the power and of the anointing that he has for our lives. It puts us in a position as we pray and use the other weapons of our warfare. But they are not carnal, but mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. Jesus has put us in a position that we can receive everything from him. Remember, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Failure is not an option, and it's not an option because, see, Jesus made us, it says in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, the third chapter, verse 26, that he created man in his image and in his likeness. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That means he wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to look like him. He wanted us to think like him. He wanted us to be able to go forth and to be great in the earth. He wanted us to be just like him. What is he? He's omnipresent. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis 1 and 26. He gave us dominion, power, and glory when he created us. He breathed the breath of life in us, and we could become a living soul. He expected us to be able to do everything. Jesus had to come back to right some wrongs. He came back and he had to get bruised. He had to get beaten. He had to get humiliated. He had to take on something that he didn't even have himself, which was sin. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, my God. He put us in a position. He came back and he put himself in a position to receive everything that we can ever go through in life. People don't even realize what Jesus did. But he left some things here. He left the Comforter here who leads, guides, and directs us into all truth, whispers softly in our ears. He teaches us how to protect our gateways. He left us with a means of prayer. Taught us how to pray. He gave us seven steps, and we often talk about the so-called Lord's Prayer, which puts us in a position to give reverence unto God. It says, Our Father, which makes us say, yes, we recognize you, God, as our Father. as Daddy. We recognize that you're in heaven. Wonderful, hallowed is your name. For your kingdom come and your will be done. Here is where we submit and surrender ourselves unto God. In earth as it is in heaven. He said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. And so as we commit ourselves to prayer and supplication, then things are going to happen. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you recall, the children of Israel, they had manna from that fell from heaven. That manna, which was what is it, is translated what is it. But the bread of heaven came down and identified himself. Hallelujah. See, it was what is it in the Old Testament. It was Jesus, hallelujah, in the New Testament. He came and he is the bread of life. He put himself in a position that we can receive fully that which God intended for us to have. As we come to our close, we praise God for what he left us with. He left us with a great and wonderful legacy, the legacy of communion. It puts us in unity with him. It's a wonderful and fearless weapon. The enemy has nothing that's even close to communion, to combat or go against that communion. Jesus left it and told us what to do with it. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, this is my promise. This is my covenant with you until I come back. Use it. Examine yourself. Put yourself in a position that nothing will be in your way. Jesus did that for us because he loved us, just like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have what? Everlasting life. Jesus was the reason that we have everlasting life because he did give us the Last Supper. He did give us communion. He gave us the ability to recognize and to understand him every single day. I beseech you, therefore, my brothers, that you would go, my sisters and my brothers, my boys and sons and daughters, that you would go and position yourself to receive communion each and every day, even if you create it yourself. Put yourself in a position to commune with God, to remember those blood items that happened to him. As you remember those items, it's hard for you to sin. And that's really what it's all about. It puts us in a position that we don't sin, and therefore the enemy cannot use it against us. It takes away any weapon that he has by us communing with him. Father, I thank you for allowing us to come together on today, O God, to put us in a position, Father. We declare and decree even right now, Father, that those that are under the sound of our voice, Father, would receive the word that has gone forth, Father, to know that because you gave us a means of communing with you on a daily basis, Father, as the early church did, Father, that we should go back to the old landmark, O God, and to put ourselves in a position, Father, to be strong like the early church, O God. Father, we recognize even right now as we declare and decree that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We recognize, Father, that you placed in us, Father, that ability to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, O God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly and righteously dividing the word of truth, O God. And even as we learn the word of truth and continue to use the word of truth to grow, O God, we thank you that you have left it with us here, O God. And we glorify and magnify your name right now, Father, as we strengthen ourselves in your word. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and your magnificent name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a word tonight, man of God, speaking on communion and how significant it is, daily communion for the body of Christ. And if you are on the line or you're over the internet and you don't have a relationship with God. You can't commune with him in any way. You have a relationship with Jesus. You can't change yourself by yourself. You need help. That's why Jesus became our Savior. He died for our sins so we can be free. So if you have never confessed to Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you want to repent and confess him again, just repeat these words after me. Father God, I know that I have sinned, and right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and help me become the person you want me to be. Thank you for dying on the cross so I can be forgiven. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you said these words behind me, welcome into the body of Christ. If you're on the internet, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and type in the comment box. Let us know. We would love to pray for you. We would love to send you a Bible. Welcome to the body of Christ. The angels are rejoicing, and we are rejoicing. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would like to sow a seed into Kingdom Builders International, you may also go to www.kingdomdaughters.org. The sow a seed, and it is a secure website. We have a couple of minutes left before the broadcast is over, so I'm going to open the line for a quick comment, testimony, or a prayer request.
Right. Perfect.
Hallelujah.
I really liked it, but I feel...
Hallelujah. Well, men of God, God truly used you to teach and explain on communion tonight. I thank God for you. I thank God for the hour that he has given you and what he has given you to give out to the people of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just come before your throne right now, covering the men of God in the blood of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray, Lord God, that what he poured out before your people tonight, Lord God, that you will restore, Lord God, a hundredfold, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to supply every need for the men of God in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the warfare and angels, Lord God, warfare over the apostle in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you that no weapon form against him shall prosper, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, you will continue to saturate him, Lord God, in your glory, in your anointing, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Head over here, Cody, shut up, and see you, God. I use the man of God tonight to teach your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God. Apostle Clark, do you have any comments? We have a couple of seconds left.
Well, we just thank God for allowing us to come forth and to be used of him. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. And again, next Thursday, same time, 8 o'clock p.m., for the Warfare Hour with Apostle Carlton Clark. Glory be to God. Thank God, praise the Lord, and hallelujah, and continue to have a blessed evening, everyone.
Worship is the agenda, so hallelujah. We just worship him. We're joining with the angels tonight. In the pattern of what's going on 24 hours every day, we just joining in. We just hooking up. It's a hookup. It's a hookup. Lifting up holy hands in the temple. Dancing for the Lord. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's the heavenly pattern.